Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord with you, where God's people gather. The word says he is with them in their midst. Amen. In fact, it says only when only two or three gathered. So we're doing pretty good this morning. It's good to see you. Good to have you here this morning on this very special day. It is also our privilege to be a part of a denomination that believes in the work of God, not only locally, but globally. And on this day, we are so pleased to have with us Kent and Kathleen Palton, who have been, if my notes are correct here, missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene since 1994. Am I correct? Most recently working in Thailand, ministering particularly to the people, the northern people in Thailand. Is that right? Do I have it right? He'll correct everything I said wrong in just a moment. And also worked in Papua New Guinea prior to that. And I believe that is where Merle and Shirley, who went out to the mission field, met them. This morning, we are pleased to have them come and share. And as I know you will do, let's give them a warm welcome as they come. God bless.
Swatikap, that's Thai for hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and goodbye. What I like to do, I really like to do this. Anywhere we go, I like to have you join me in a song. And so if you join me with, you all can read Thai, right? No? Here, I'll help you out here just a little bit. Just to help you with the pronunciation of my strange words here. A-H is a long ah sound, and O-H is a long O sound, okay? So the first line, if you will repeat after me, it sounds like this. Wani ben wan. Excellent. Thai in one easy lesson. And second line sounds like this. Ti prachao song sang. And the third line, Jong Chin Chom Yin Di. Excellent. And the fourth line, La Rong Pleng San San. Very good, very good. The rest of it's repetitive, so I think we can do this now. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. Jong Chin Chom Yin Di. Lat Rong Pleng San San. Together now. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. Jong Chin Chom Yin Di. Lat Rong Pleng San San. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. I think most of you were doing pretty good there, and you did so well. I think I'd like to hear that one more time. Would you do that? Wan Ni Ben Wan. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. Tipra Chao Song San. Jong Chin Chom Yin Di. Lat Rong Pleng San San. Lat Rong Pleng San San. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. Jong Chin Chom Yin Di. Lat Rong Pleng San San. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Wan Ni Ben Wan. Tipra Chao Song San. Give yourselves a hand. That's a great job. We have a couple different things that we oftentimes share, and so we got a little bit mixed up on some of the notes that I sent along for you to take note of. Some people like to know about the foods that we like to eat in Thailand, and I don't have any pictures of the food this morning, but we enjoy all the kinds of different kinds of curries. There's pot Thai. If you've ever been to a Thai restaurant, pot Thai is a tourist favorite, and we like that one. We've also had some boiled bugs. They kind of look like white caterpillars about this long. And then if you fry them, deep fry them, we have crunchy caterpillars. And if you'd prefer, you can mash them up. And so mashed maggots with some spices thrown in to make a great tortilla chip dip. And we use pork rinds, actually. But anyway, it's fun. And we've even had some monkey meat and some roasted rat and some buffalo and... And we've had Haagen-Dazs and Krispy Kreme and KFC. About the only thing that we haven't eaten in Thailand is McDonald's, and that's just a personal preference, not because it doesn't exist there. So we've had a lot of things there. And currently, we are living in a fifth wheel. It's about 30 feet long. That's our home. People wonder where we come from, and that's, well, it's kind of hard to say. We've been moving since March all over the place. We've been down as far south as Tennessee, as far west as Northern California District, and up in Washington, and over to Ohio and Michigan. So we get around. We're headed to, on our way to Oklahoma after we leave Canada and down into Texas and then over to Alabama. So we've got a long road ahead of us. We have 5 children, all married. We have 15 grandchildren. We have 2 great-grandsons, and they live in, Oregon, Minnesota, Illinois, Kentucky, and Thailand. And our 2 grandsons live in Idaho. So we have family all over the world. And it's a privilege to be with you here today on this very momentous day in the life of your church. And so we're very happy to be here. What I'd like to share with you at the very beginning here is some very quick facts. And I just kind of want to set the stage for you. You don't have to memorize these, but do try to think about what they're saying. You've heard of the 1040 window? Anybody not heard of the 1040 window? Between the 10th and the 40th parallel from west of Africa to the east of Japan. And in this 1040 window that's outlined here, we have 55 of the least evangelized countries, and 97% of their population live there. And 90% of the people living in this area, this box, is almost 5 billion people, 90% of them are unevangelized. Over 5 billion, 90% unevangelized. Only about 10% of our global missionary force is working inside of this window. 85% of the people that live here are the poorest of the poor in the world. And 2/3 of the world's population lives in that window there. Half of that number lives in my back door, right there in that red box. Of the unreached people, 24% of the world population, they receive only 1% of mission finances. Here's some fast facts about Southeast Asia, which is where we're living. The Indochina Peninsula itself has about 250 million people. Only less than 3% are evangelized or Christians. Thailand, 67 million people, and less than 0.5% are Christian. In Chiang Mai, this is the most Christian province in Thailand. It's less than 6% Christian. And the Northern Thai people group, this is an ethnic group, not just that they live in the northern part of Thailand. Time's up. 7 million people in this ethnic group and less than 0.02% Christian, okay? We've had Catholic missionaries in Thailand since 1550 and evangelical missionaries since 1840. One might think, what's the problem? How come so few? We've had missionaries there. In Thailand, actually, we've had missionaries in other parts like Vietnam and in Myanmar even longer than we've had them in Thailand. The number of Christians in this area of the world are very, very minimal. My first morning in Bangkok, this was back in the year 2000, it was August, and we were staying in a hotel in Bangkok, a city of close to 10 million people. And because of the time change from going from, we flew from South Carolina, I forgot. We flew from South Carolina, we get over to the other side of the world, and of course our clocks are messed up, the internal clock. And so somewhere around 2, 3, 4 in the morning it was that I woke up and couldn't sleep. And so I went over to the window of my hotel room and opened the curtains so that I could look out on the city of Bangkok. And if you've ever seen a city lit up at night, it's a pretty awesome sight. And I was thinking about some of the stats that you just saw here a few moments ago. And I began to pray and say, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? Why am I here? What in the world? How can I make any kind of a difference here in this country? I don't know. Joshua kind of said that before. Gideon kind of said that. Moses, you go through the scriptures, you see people. Jeremiah, he didn't want any part of it. He said, please, I'm not fit. Why me? The amazing thing to me is when we come to see Jesus and Jesus speaks to those disciples in the New Testament, they leave everything and they start following him. I haven't read yet in the Bible. I keep rereading it just to make sure that I'm right. But I haven't read anywhere where any of those disciples just said, well, you know, I'm not really cut out for this kind of work. They just left it all and started following Jesus. Uh-oh. I didn't know it would come out that way. And you can't adjust that now, can you? Well, I'm going to tax you a little bit this morning, okay? So put your head sideways there. What we have to remember is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, those are important words. God sent us. God has sent you. Now, you might not be aware of it yet, but he has. He called you not just so that he can put you on his trophy shelf. He called you to be participating in the work that, to which he's called us. And then Jesus says, just as the Father has sent me, he says now to his disciples, the ones who are following him, now go. I'm now sending you to go. And I, as I was there in Bangkok and I was thinking about these verses and thinking how God, okay, I'm here because you sent me, God. You love these people and I'm here. I'm whatever it is, I'm open for it. And there's a song by Stephen Fry. Oh, I want to know you more. And that one line, I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. And I've sung that song many times, and I feel those words deeply when I sing it. But the thing is that God calls us to something much more than giving our final breath. You know, it'd be pretty easy. You come up to the end of your time here on this earth. Okay, my last breath is for you, Lord. I'll give it up. But that's not what he called us to do. Son... That one looks good. Son is a pastor now, actually the district superintendent in Vietnam. This guy's an amazing guy. I don't have time to share with you a whole lot about his history or the history of the church in Vietnam. It's one of the places where our Bible college that you have helped support. We've been able to establish it in Southeast Asia. It's not just in one country. We have over 300 students in about 7 different languages in the 5 countries on the Indochina Peninsula. And Sun is one of the graduates of our school. And so you've had a part in his theological education. But he used to be professionally an engineer, in fact, an underwater engineer. He did a lot of deep diving somewhere and did repairs and engineering kind of stuff like that. But God called him, and Son started following. God made such a difference in his life that this guy is one of the most bold people that I know. Now, we think of Vietnam as being very closed and a dangerous place to live. You don't share your faith with anybody else because, you know, you could get put in prison, right? And this guy, Son, he just goes, and anybody, he's looking for opportunities. Have you ever heard about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? And one person one time asked him, said, Son, how many times have you been in prison? He said, well, counted up, gave a number. His wife happened to be standing right there, and she said, Son, no, that's not correct because you forgot about these times. And he said, those don't count. That was only for 1 or 2 days. He gave it all up. And he started following Jesus, and he started looking for the opportunities to share what God wanted to do in not only in him, but through him, because he knew the people that are around him didn't know Jesus. He needed to be that kind of person. And so then we come to this. I'm going to step back here. Take your everyday life. Just your ordinary life now, okay? You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going, you're working, and you're walking around life, and place it before God, an offering, a living sacrifice. So it's not just about the final breath that we breathe. It's about the very next breath that you breathe. Would you be willing to give this up for Jesus? This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. We don't have to. God didn't call us to die. That was His Son's role, so that we could know the Father. Now He asks us to live for Him, giving the next breath, because the next conversation that you have with someone might be the only opportunity that someone might get to know about Jesus. I don't think you want to miss that opportunity. I was reading in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and this verse, it just kind of hit me one day. Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. He hung on a cross out of joy. Out of joy. Now, He didn't enjoy the cross. That's not what it's saying there. But because He loved you so much, it made Him well up with joy and gladness that He would endure the cross. And the thing is that it's not, God didn't call us to die or sacrifice. But like this guy here, Nguyen Nguyen, he's a pastor in Cambodia, a farmer, simple guy. He's still enrolled in our Bible college. And there was a point here several years ago where we had to close down the Church of the Nazarene in Cambodia. Some difficult circumstances, challenges with the government, and so we had to just shut it all down, no longer there. Now, Nguyen Nguyen had been with the Church of the Nazarene for not very long, but God had done a work in him, and it wasn't just about following the Church of the Nazarene, but in our church, he found that God had done something very special in him. And so, even though we had withdrawn from Cambodia and were no longer there visibly, Nguyen Nguyen said, "Hey, you're not shutting me down. This is what God's called me to." And he began planting churches all around. He would go, he would talk to people about Christ. His son has said about him, "Boy, my dad, if he ever has a spare moment, you'll find him reading the Bible." That's what he does with his free time. He's not looking for entertainment. He has a heart to share the gospel with the lost. He's one of these guys that, like in Philippians, sideways again, have this mind that was also in Christ Jesus, who lived a selfless life and died a selfless death. I see in Nguyen Nguyen, my friend, that he exemplifies this kind of life. He, because of joy, he loves to go out and share the gospel, discipling people so that they can plant churches. He didn't just plant all the churches by himself. He raised disciples who were also planting churches around. When we were able to go back into Cambodia, he'd already been responsible for at least 10 new Nazarene churches in that 5 or 6 year hiatus. He said, "You know, this is what God's called us to. There are people who need to know the gospel." In Pabujam, which is about an hour's drive north of Chiang Mai, which is the city where we lived in Thailand, is a little village called Pabujam. And this is the man that, one of the men that lived there. I've had the opportunity to disciple him. And when I first met Duke, he was not at all interested. It was another fellow that was a person of peace in that village. And but one early conversation that I had with Duke, I told him that, there is going to come a time when you cannot help yourself and you're going to need somebody that can. And I want you to know that my God, He's very, very close to you. And all He needs to hear is for you to say, God, I need you. Please help me. Sometime after that, months after that, he found that day, or the day found him. He was at the end of the rope. And he prayed that prayer. He said, God, I need you. Please help me. And it was just like that. The problem was erased. It was all gone. And Jip was amazed. He was amazed. One of the things that we talked about in the discipling process, he says, now, if I'm going to be a Christian, this village had no Christian witness in it when we went there. And he said, if I'm going to be a Christian, what do I need to do? It's not how I become a Christian, but what am I supposed to do as a Christian? And I said, well, it's very simple. Love God and love your neighbor. And you spend your life learning how to do that. And that's really, really tough. I said, you know, I can't tell you how to do that. It's a little bit different for every person. But I said, you know, you read your scriptures every day, pray every day, you know, the basic things you do. But and then you listen to God and you begin to obey what He's telling you to do. And he's thinking about this loving your neighbor idea. And so what he did was one day he came up with the idea that he needed to have a new water cistern built. Yeah. And so he dug this big hole in the ground that he was going to have water to help the people in his village during the dry season. Now, they could get water, but they have to go quite a ways, and they carry it back to their houses. And sometimes they do have water in the village that is available at a community tap. The water is not very good, but during the dry season, that's all dried up, and people don't have water. He says, I could help my neighbors by putting this water project in. And so he dug the hole. He was doing this all by himself, didn't ask for any help. He said, this is what I can do. Now, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but he said, you know, people need to know that this is what God wants to do. This was a selfless act. He's giving of himself because he has found in Christ the joy. This is the completed project. He's completed about 3 months ago, and God has helped him. He made this promise. He finished it at some sacrifice to him financially and time-wise. I'm going to go back here, just two pictures there. What you see there is on our last Sunday night in Thailand. Had the opportunity of baptizing him and another fellow in their families, 16 people in all. Now, that's a great, exciting thing that takes place. We get to be involved in people finding Christ. A couple here, a couple there, 10 here, sometimes 100. But when you think about the numbers of the millions, in fact, billions of people right there in our backyard that still don't know Jesus. It comes back to this point, what in the world can I do? I'm excited about your project here, a church making it a home for people here in Calgary, people that don't have a home yet, a church home, a place where you can be discipled and be involved in discipling others. That's exciting. Because that's what God's called us to do. You kind of wonder maybe about what does this have to do with missions around the world? Well, it's not just missions around the world. It's the mission in the world. Around the world is important. But the thing is, the answer, how can I be a difference maker? I can make a difference by praying. Now, I know that you folks pray. I don't know what your prayer life is like, but I'm sure that you pray. I'm confident of that. I don't know how much time you spend in prayer, but I know that if we really care about the lost, we talk about living a selfless life, giving ourselves so that others would know Jesus, it's going to take a lot of prayer. Jesus told his disciples, he said, look here, you see the harvest out here? They're ready. Now, what I want you to do is go out there and hold evangelistic campaigns so that they'll come to know me, right? That's not what Jesus said. The fields are ripe. What I want you to do is pray. Pray for the harvesters. Pray for the laborers. Pray for the people who can make the contact one-on-one, one person at a time. We don't have to save the whole city. What we have to do is live our life looking for those opportunities where we can share with just one person. Jake told me one day, he said, when you go back to the States, would you tell the people there, thank you for me? He said, he wondered how in the world we were even able to be there in Thailand. He knew that I didn't have a normal job. I wasn't a farmer and I didn't work for a company or anything like that. And I said, well, we have churches around the world that support people who are willing to go to places where Christ hasn't been proclaimed yet. He said, wouldn't you go back there? Would you please tell those, well, thank you. Thank you because you, in your giving for missions, made it possible for my wife and myself and other people who have also been doing missionary work in other places. Thank you. Because if you hadn't done your part, we probably wouldn't be there. Jake probably would not have known about Jesus. So thank you. What more can you do? You can continue to give. Now, I don't know what your giving thing here is going as far as your church goes, but you know, it's not just about money that you give. Giving your life, a selfless life, because you care so much. You don't know what it's going to take. With Moses, God just wanted to use a stick. Just a stick. Just a common shepherding stick. A little boy had two fish and a few loaves of bread, fed 5,000 people. I don't have a lot. You don't have a lot. I don't. Anybody in here really rich? Nobody's raising their hands. We are rich people. Do you know how much? Have you ever really sat down and thought about how much God has blessed you? You ever thought about it? We are blessed people. We have been given so much. God did not give it to us so that we could hoard it or that we could just use it for ourselves. He gave it so that we could give it to others. Freely you have received, now freely give. This is our role. This is what we can do to make a difference, because as we're faithful to be obedient to what God asks you to do, not us, but when as we speak to Him in prayer and He tells to us that we need to do something, we give. And we need to go. It might be across the street. It might be next door. It might be where you work or where you go to school, where you play games. I don't know what it is that you do. But you go every day. It's evident here in Calgary. There's cars going all over the place. And I know people go here. And I think that you're one of those people. You're Calgarians, right? In your going, look for those opportunities, knowing that God has called you to be a difference maker in your community and even around the world. It might be that God asks you to go to the other side of the world or into the southern hemisphere. It might be. And it's not about big campaigns, big programs. It's one moment at a time, one person at a time. That's all it takes. Just being faithful in the moment that God gives you. Every conversation is an opportunity, no matter where you are. If you are continually praying and say, God, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart, so that I can see, I can hear the helpless cries of these people. They have no hope. Help me to hear it. Give me understanding in my heart so that I'm willing to share the gospel. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. And that's why that song that we sang at the beginning, I hope most of you recognize it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's not about the creation of the world. God made the world in 6 days and then gave it to us to take care of. Today, this very day, is God's day. He created this day. He's very much aware of where every one of us is located. He knows very much your very individual situation. He knows your joys. He knows your heartaches. He's not surprised by anything that you are facing. There's no need to panic. There's no need to throw up your hands and say, I give up. I'm just going to check out. I'll just kind of live the way I want to. There's no reason for that, because today God knows where you are. And because He is the Creator God, because He knows where we are, He knows the conversations that we're going to be in each day, we can say, Lord, it is great to be serving You. This is the best thing in my life, that You have saved me. You've given me a hope and a future. And now You've asked me to help other people to have this hope and a future. People are out there and they are living in a prison. Prison of their own making, usually. But they're living there, oppressed, strapped down. And He's called you to make a difference in some of those people's lives. Not everybody, but some people. And you can be a difference maker if you will be obedient to the Lord. May I pray with you? Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. You are a mighty God. It's amazing because You don't need us, but You love us so much that You gave Your Son so that we could know You. And then You sent Your Holy Spirit to guide us in our daily walk. We really do want to please You in our lives, Lord. Keep us mindful of how You would like to use us in our everyday, ordinary lives so that others will come to know You. We hear about the billions that don't know You yet. It's impossible. We know that. But we also know that nothing is impossible with You. And so we praise You. We want You to be glorified in our lives. Help other people to be able to see Your Son, Your living love in our lives, so that a hurting world will know Your healing. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you.